times, let's declare that church, he's always good.
Awesome. Okay, well, how about we stay standing for just a moment, because I'm introducing someone you probably have seen before in some shape or form if you've been around the Lighthouse for a little bit. You might have seen this funny beardy man on screen a couple of times. And I just want to say that our guest speaker this morning, he is more than just a humorous, engaging, anointed speaker. He is also a really good friend, him and his wife Nicola, to me and Rachel. You know, we've spent a lot of time together. We were at university together, leading the Christian Union as a team. We both did the Advanced Generation 1 year, the Advanced Program 1 generation after another. And we've just been doing all kinds of great things together. Him and his wife, Nicola, lead the young adults ministry and many other things across our Equippers locations. And more than that, they have on their lives an incredible blossoming ministry that is just going from strength to strength. So I wondered if you could give a massive round of applause to a very good friend of the family, an awesome speaker, Sam Malcolm. Here we go.
Hey. Well, good morning. Why don't we just stay standing for one moment? I think I'd just love to pray just before we start off. And let's just pray right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're with us this morning. Lord, thank you that your presence is moving in this place right now, and I praise you for that. God, we are just ready for you to minister to us this morning. Holy Spirit, we welcome you today, and we're excited to see what you're going to show us, what you're going to reveal to us, how you're going to change our lives this morning. In your name, amen. Awesome. Well, why don't you take a seat? Hey, it's great to be here this morning. I am absolutely loving it so far. And yeah, as Chris said, us and Chris and Rachel, we go back a long way. Oh, I think 8 years now is when I turned up in Egham, Royal Holloway University. That's how I found myself at Equippers, was originally a student there. And it was brilliant getting to know Chris and Rachel and doing life with them. And this is a fantastic church. Like, I am absolutely loving being here this morning. I can really just feel there's a sense of expectation and people are ready for God to move today. And for you guys to be under the leadership of Chris and Rachel, then honestly, you are in good hands. I can promise you that. As Chris said, my name's Sam. I'm married to Nicola. I've realized you may recognize us from the screen, from all those watch parties. So it's great to be in the room with you in real life today. And yeah, we tend to find ourselves at the Surrey location, leading our young adults and our students from Royal Holloway. Today is the first day, actually, that we've got students coming back. So we've sent a bus there, which we're really excited about. And you know what? I was just thinking, we're talking about God's house, our house today. And this isn't part of the preach or anything like that. But isn't it amazing that as this church, we are a global house? Like, we have the culture of Equippers that goes throughout the world, whether it's the new one in Budapest. I've been and visited the one in Italy and some in Germany. They sent me over to the Philippines once, which was great fun. It turns out one of our students, who's brand new, we've never met her before, she's already been to Equippers in New Zealand. She already knows what's going on. And I love it. I just love the way that God just brings little bits and pieces like that together, that we're not isolated here. We're part of something huge, something massive that God is doing across the world, and it is so, so exciting. Well, look, we're going to be looking at this series, God's House, Our House, this morning, and I'll get into it a little bit about what I want to talk about in a moment, but I want to ask you this question first, and that is, have you ever had, like, life plans? Have you ever kind of had maybe like a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan, or, you know, you had certain goals in your life that you really wanted to reach and you thought, do you know what, that is a logical plan. I know exactly how to achieve that. I know exactly how to do that. So myself, that was me, right? I had an incredibly logical plan, a very, very good plan for my life. My mum and dad, they thought, great plan, Sam. Go and accomplish it. And this plan was this. I was 18 years old. I was just finishing school. And the plan was go to university, do a history degree, which is what I did. Then graduate from that, become a history teacher. So do a year of history teacher training. I'd kind of picked the college I was going to go and do that at as well in my head. Graduate from that, become a history teacher, life sorted for the rest of my life. Do that forever. There was a bonus point to the plan, which was if you can find a wife, ideally from the church as well, then you get bonus points in the plan. And so that was really the big plan. It was genius. It was unchangeable. It was logical. It was certain. Nothing was going to stop me from accomplishing this plan for my life. Now, that was almost 8 years ago now, and something happened within about the first 6 months of this plan, and everything changed. Just so you know, I did graduate uni with a history degree, and I did not go anywhere near history teaching after that. And now my life is miles away from history in any way, shape, or form. I serve the church, and I work for a company that build ejector seats for planes, which is true. It's not a joke. My plan completely changed. This certain logical, unbreakable, unchangeable plan was transformed. And the thing that transformed it was God's house. Because I came to university with this great plan to study history and become a history teacher. And what I found myself doing was actually finding this local church called Equippers Church and absolutely falling in love with it and just thinking, this is a place I want to be. This is a place where I want to spend my time. And so I got to the end of university and I thought, you know what? Teacher training, that's not for me right now. I want to actually give a year to this church as a volunteer. So I followed in Chris and Rachel's steps. I became an advancer for the next year. And then my life from then has gone on in this pattern of, first and foremost, I want to serve the church. I want to serve the house of God. And it's meant that I no longer have a plan for life. I can't, because I don't know what's going to happen the next day, because I am so passionate about just being able to serve into church. And so the thing that changed these unbreakable, unchangeable, logical, certain, mum and dad approved plans was a passion for the church, a passion for God's house. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, having a passion for the house of God. Just a side note, I did actually complete another part of that plan, which was find a wife. I met Nicola at Equippers Church, and we got married soon after we finished the advanced program. So that was one thing, and mum and dad are very happy about that. So I did redeem something from the plan. But apart from that, out the window. Never mind, because I love the church. And so I want to look at this morning about how can we have a passion for the church, for God's house. I want to share with you a few things about why I think we should have passion. What is it about the house of God that builds passion in our lives? And then I want to look at and understand the truth that sometimes our passion isn't always right up here. You know, sometimes it can be down here or down here. And I want to work out, well, okay, if that's the case, what can we do to rebuild that passion? Is that good? Yeah. Brilliant stuff. Okay, so let's have a look at a couple of reasons. I've got a couple of things I want to share with you about why we should have a passion for the house of God. Some of these you'll experience, some of these you'll know, some of these you might be like, oh yeah, that's true, I've never really thought about it that way. But and this is not an exhaustive list either. I think there's so many reasons why we can have a passion for the house of God. Reason number one. The house of God, God's house, our church, is a place of family and community. You know, the church is actually such a place of belonging, and that is such an important thing for people. We were talking with our student team a couple of weeks ago about what was it for you as students that made a difference about coming to Equippers? Like, what was it that made you stick around, basically? What made it that made you stay? And do you know what? And I was really surprised by this. Almost every single one of them, there's about six or seven of them, said that it was because church was a place of belonging, because it was a place where they felt at home. And I thought that was so interesting. And when you think about it, it's so true. You know, when you step into the house of God, you know that you're at home. You know, every single one of you today, you belong to this great house of God that he has designed and ordained and created for us to be part of. And it can mean so much to a person to belong. We have a number of international students who come to our Surrey location, and we know for them that the church is a place for them that it is home, it is family. When they can be away from the other side of the world, from all their family, just them on their own, a number of students now, and some who have gone on to be advancers or who are now staying in the UK to pursue careers and stuff like that, it mattered so much to them because the church is a place for them to feel at home and to belong. And when you think about it as well, your community can be built with the most amazing people who will support you and love you and champion you and want to see you do the best in church. You know, every single one of my best friends, I think, I met in church. My wife, Nicola, as I've said, I met her at church. The people who I trust, the people who I listen to for advice, they're all from church. I wouldn't have ended up in my ejector seat job if it wasn't for a guy from church who pushed me in that sort of very random direction in the first place. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Church is a place of family. It's a place of belonging. It's a place where we can gather together, build each other up, and encourage each other. And I think that's really, really valuable. The importance of it can't be ignored. And actually, it says in Hebrews 10, It actually, we're instructed, we're encouraged to not give up meeting, to not give up gathering together and to encourage one another. The writer of Hebrews clearly sees the value of gathering together as the church, to meet as a group of people, to encourage each other, to love one another, to build each other up. So there's reason one. Why are we passionate about the church? Because it's a place of family and community. Here's another one. The church is a place where we can really see the expression of the gifting that God has given all of us. I don't know if you know this, but every single one of you is uniquely gifted in an incredible way. And the thing is, that gifting that you have, you can actually use to sow into the church, to serve the church, whatever it is, however it looks like. Because sometimes there's things that people do which are very, very obvious, very, very clear. I used to play the drums, and so it was very obvious to me what was my gifting because everybody could hear it. Like, it was very, very loud. But, you know, maybe someone else, you know, you might have a gifting for being able to pray for someone or being a great friend or coming alongside someone. That's just as valuable, and it means just as much, and God has ordained that upon you. As the church, we can refer to ourselves as the body, okay? So we're all a part of the body. Every one of us makes that up, and we get that from 1 Corinthians 12, 12. And in 1 Corinthians 12, 18, I really like this bit because it says, in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, so every one of us, just as he wanted them to be. You know, it's no mistake that you're here today. It's no mistake that you've been gifted in a certain unique, creative way, and it's no mistake. Because God's done it. He's done it on purpose. He wants you to be in this space and to serve and to sow into what is happening here. And what I love is that actually we can do it to an incredible ability. Because God's empowered us to do it. And I love that one of the values of this church is excellence. And so as a result, we can excel in the things that we're doing. So it doesn't mean that you can have a gift and you just bring it and you use it. But actually, you've got a chance to develop something, to grow something, to flow and to thrive in something. And I love that because then, well, what does that mean for the church? It means that we can see the church that is a place full of diversity. It is full of creativity. It is full of God-given gifting. And it's going to be a gifting that develops and grows and thrives. And I absolutely love that. Every one of us has got a part to play in this church. I tell you what, I am so glad that I don't have to do the hospitality afterwards. I'm not going to lie, I'm really pleased about that because it would probably be very weak coffee and weird tea and whatever else. But someone else here is gifted in that way. Rachel is amazing at hospitality, by the way. Once when we were students, she cooked us 20 chickens? Oh, six. I swear it was 20. I remember it being 20. Even though six roast chickens is still a good achievement, she would go above and beyond in that gifting that she had to provide for people and to feed people. And it was an amazing way to see God's creativity displayed in that way. So the church is as well a place where we can see the expression of the gifting that God has given all of us. Okay, here's another one. This one I love. The church is a place of encounter. The church is a place to meet God. I don't know how you felt. And really when I talk about the church at this point, I'm kind of talking about the gathering of all of us in this sort of space. Because when you think back to COVID times and to when we were all at church at home, me and Nicola, we were living in a one-bed house at that point. So our church at home was the same place as the kitchen and the kettle and the toaster and roast potatoes on a Sunday afternoon. Can you see what I'm saying? Well, actually, when we're gathered here today, we are here for one reason. We're here for a purpose, and that's to worship God and to honor him. And the beauty of that is that when we gather together to worship, God is here with us as well. We know the scriptures, where two or more are gathered, then God commands a blessing in his name. In James 4:8, it says this, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. What does that mean? Well, it means that as we stand here together, as we worship God, as we honor him, he's moving. He's here today. He's in the room. He's blessing us. When you look at examples in the Bible, Acts 13, the moment where the Apostle Paul is commissioned to go and do his ministry, that's actually in worship. So the church in Antioch are together and they're worshiping. And then the Holy Spirit says, set apart Barnabas and Saul. Now, if you know anything about Saul/Paul, then you know that his ministry, you know, exploded the church, basically. And it came out of a moment of gathering together, of worship, of encounter. So look, I love the church because it is a place where we get to encounter God. We get to meet God. We get to be gathered together as his children and to see God move. Hey, there's some good theology as well about the church, and I want to share with you just for a moment as well. Another reason to love the church. Well, if you think about this, I don't know about you, but if something is loved by Jesus, I want to love that as well. Because Jesus knows what's good, right? Jesus knows what you should love, what you should be passionate about. And the church is actually referred to as the bride of Christ. Now, anyone who's married here will remember that moment where you either were on one knee saying, will you marry me? Or you were receiving the request and said, yes, all right. Maybe a bit more romantically than that. I don't know if you can look back and remember that moment, but for me, when I asked Nicola to marry me, my heart was full of love, exploding, overwhelming. And then as we got nearer and nearer the wedding day, that love, you could just feel that sense of, wow, I love this person so much. I'm so excited to marry them. I cannot wait. And then I even remember the wedding day. And you know what? Some of my best memories of my wedding are just looking over at Nicola and thinking, man alive, I love her so much. Wow. And look, if that's how we feel as humans when it comes to being the bride and the bridegroom, when it comes to the wedding day, then imagine how Jesus feels about his church. Because if there's one thing Jesus knows how to do, it's love, right? And so when it comes to Jesus' love for the church, we know that it is going to be powerful. We know it's going to be overflowing. We know it's going to be unconditional. And we want to carry that same love. If Jesus loves the church, why should we be passionate about it? Because I want to love the church as well. We know this because it comes from Ephesians 5:25-29. And in this, it talks about how that a husband should love his wife because this is how Jesus loves the church. Okay, so scripture says that Jesus loves the church. And don't forget that Jesus loves the church so much, as it says in verse 12. I've written 25 here, but I don't know if this is quite right. But it says that Jesus loved the church and gave himself up for her. Like we said, Jesus loved the church to the point where he gave himself for it. To the point where he died for every one of us because he loves us so much. He loves the community of church so much. So if you're asking the question, well, why on earth should I have a passion for the church? You know, one of the simplest answers, I think, is because Jesus loves it so much. Come on, don't we want to love the things that Jesus loves? Awesome. Hey, another one, and this is my last point in terms of why should we have a passion for the church. This is quite an interesting one. The church is a place of maturity in Christ. The church is somewhere where actually all of us can grow to be more like Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I would like to be more like Jesus. I don't know if you've heard of him. He was a pretty good guy, okay? And so I want to be able to grow more and more like him. And the church, the gathering of people here together today, provides us the vehicle to do that, provides us the body to be able to do that. Now, we know this from Ephesians 4, and I'm going to read you the whole thing, 11 to 15. It says this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for the works of the service. That's where equippers comes from. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful schemings. Instead, speaking truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. So you want to be more like Jesus? Well, the church is the place where that can happen. That passage talks about how Christ is given within the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. People who can hold a certain office that can do so much to reveal the word of God to us, to train us, to encourage us, to stand by us, to teach us. And you know what? As this group of people, as the church gather together in that way, under that authority and under the authority of God, we're equipped for life. We're built up. We're developed. We grow. And that equipping for life means that we can then stand firm. It means we can actually discern what is from the enemy, and we can overcome it as well. Like it says, we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves. Look, we can never do that on your own. You cannot occupy the office of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. I don't think you'd ever be able to sleep if you had to do all five. It'd be a nightmare. But the church is a place where those people operate and can gather and can minister. And that means that we can be under that ministry and we can grow and we can develop. It means that the church is a place for us to find strength and find stability. and move further away from the things of the enemy and move more towards the goodness that Jesus has for us. And in our lives, grow that Jesus likeness, that Christ likeness within us that God has designed for us. And that's a great thing about this point, is that actually what we're talking about is something that God's designed, something that God has actually purposed and ordained for us. And that's why I love the church. The church is not an accident. The church didn't happen. The church was something deliberate that God designed, that God set up, that God ordained in order that we might grow more towards like Jesus. And I think that's a pretty good thing. Here's the thing about the church. There's nothing else like it. There's just nothing else like the church. If you want to come and tell me at the end a place where you can meet people, where they really get behind you, where they encourage you, where you can encounter God, where you can be grown in a way that moves you more towards Christ-likeness, where you can use the gifting and skills that God has given you, I'd like to hear where that place is, because as far as I'm concerned, it's the church. And that's the place where it is. And I'm passionate about that. And I think that's reasons, just a few reasons, to have such a passion for the church, because it does so much. And it's all from God. And it's actually a great gift from God as well. And it's so, so exciting. Here's the thing, though. I understand that when we talk about passion, in a way, we kind of have a responsibility for passion. And sometimes with passion, you can be super passionate about something, and other times you can be medium. Other times you might feel like you've lost that passion. I'm a big Arsenal fan, okay? Big fan of Arsenal Football Club. And I don't remember if you remember a couple of months ago, this thing happened called the European Super League. Does anyone remember that? Yeah, it was this dark day in football, basically, where all the big 12 clubs in Europe, I say big in inverted commas, decided they were going to split off and make their own football league. And the reason they did it basically was so that they could keep on making money with each other. And it really meant that a lot of football fans started questioning their passion for the club. I saw friends on social media who have supported their club for 30 years publicly declaring they were no longer supporting their club, which I thought was absolutely hilarious. And then about 3 weeks later, when the whole thing had blown over and his club won again, he was like, "Way, go on, they're the team, I've always loved them." For me as an Arsenal fan, we agreed to join the Super League, and it questioned my passion for a moment. I genuinely thought, if my team joined the league, who do I still support them? Is it bad? Is it good? Should I support someone else? And then at the start of this season, Arsenal then kept getting beaten as well. We were very, very, very bad for a good few games. And again, it questioned my passion. And I think the reason why my passion for my team was ebbing and flowing was because things happened that were out of my control. Things happened that I didn't expect. Things happened because it felt like me as a fan, I wasn't listened to. Somebody changed something for their benefit, but not for mine. People felt hurt. And I wonder sometimes with church, can we let that happen to us? You know, as leaders in the church, I know that the best intention is always there, but every one of us is human. Every one of us is a person with feelings and emotions. And sometimes things happen in church that we might not expect. Or sometimes something changes and it's not to your preference. Or it's not how you expected something to happen. Or sometimes something just goes in a way that you thought, you know what, I'm not sure about that. And those moments can cause our passion to drop. Now look, I want to talk just for a few final minutes about how we can allow that passion to grow again. But I do understand that every person in the room is different and every person's experience is different. And so what I want to say today, that if you do feel like there's a real hurt inside of you, that you feel like something's happened somewhere along your journey that's meant your passion for the church, it just feels hurt. It just feels like it can't be fixed. Then I want to encourage you today to pray and to talk with someone and pray with someone. Because the thing with the hurt, the thing with an offense is that you never want it to go deep. You never want it to sit and just grow and grow and grow and take root. But actually, you want to be able to deal with it. And the best way we can do that is by bringing it to someone you trust, bringing it to God, and let's deal with that. And I want to really encourage you to do that. But I want to move on as well and to talk about how we can grow in this passion. Because I know that for all of us, we might be feeling right up there right now. We might be feeling maybe around about here. But every one of us, you know, this is God, something that God has got for us. And the good thing about God is that there's always more. There's always more when it comes to God. And so let's talk about how we can grow our passion for the church. I've got 3 points. The first one, and I've taken this out of the title of the series. First and foremost, the church is God's house. So how do we grow our passion for the church? Well, we take the focus off ourselves and onto God. Church is God's house, and I really believe that actually passion can really grow when we take the focus off ourselves. We've already talked about how passionate God is about the church, right? We know that Jesus absolutely loves the church. And here's the thing, Jesus is living inside of you right now. Galatians 2:20 says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So the God who has this passion for the church is dwelling within you. And I really feel like, and I really believe that we're no longer living our own life, but we can live the life of God. And that is a life that is passionate about the church. You know, when we take the focus off ourselves, off our preference, off our past, off what we think church should be like, off we think it should do, how we think it should go, and actually we put our focus on the love that God has for the church, it's bound to grow something. It's bound to develop a passion within you. There's such a power in taking the focus off of ourselves and onto God. And I think because God knows the heavenly potential of church. He knows exactly what his house is designed to do. And he's passionate about every person that gathers as a believer. And so we can take the focus off ourselves and place it onto, well, what's God doing in this place? What's God's heart for this church? It will grow our passion because we can start to flow in the understanding of what God wants to do for his house. Here's our second point. Our house. So we talked about God's house first and foremost, but then our house. Because the truth is, the church, the house of God, we have a responsibility to it as well. Think about it. You invest in your own house, right? You don't make it look gross on purpose. You might, you know, forget to hoover it every now and then or something, but you want to make it look nice. When it comes to a house, somewhere that you're responsible for, you want to serve into it. You want to sow into it. I was thinking this morning about the fuel crisis, which is very funny at the moment, I think. And I think the reason people are getting, and in one way, you could say they were getting passionate about petrol, I suppose, because they're going beyond the normal way of doing things. Well, it's because they're responsible for it. They've got to get to work in the morning. They've got to, you know, drive the kids to school. And so that responsibility brings a passion because the responsibility demands action in a way. I love the responsibility that the people who build the temples in 1 Chronicles have when they build the temple, the house of God. And if you ever need your mind blown, read 1 Chronicles 2-4. I think it's 1 Chronicles. Could be 2. Read all of 1 Chronicles and all of 2 Chronicles, and you'll find it somewhere in there. But it's describing the growth and the building of the temple. Now, let me give you some stats. 153,600 people were brought together to work and to build the temple, the house of God. I did a little bit of Googling. That, give or take a few thousand, is all of Oxford. Okay? So imagine today we had to ring up everybody in Oxford and say, please could you come down here and build this church, this house of God. They all have to do it. And then they sourced the temple with the best materials. They lined it with gold. They adorned it with precious stones. They decorated the whole place with sculptures. For some reason, pomegranates were involved a lot. I don't really know why. I need to do a little bit more research. But they go on and on about pomegranates. Must have been delicious. But the thing is, they make the temple extravagant and majestic because they're honoring the dwelling place of God. They carry a passion to honor the house of God, and I think that's a passion that we can replicate today. We've talked already about how the church is a unique place of us all developing our gifting, and that each one of us has a part to play in this body. And so come on, let's take that responsibility. Let's go for it. Let's serve into this church. Let's sow into it. You know, if you can't do either of those, pray into the church at least. Every one of us has a dialogue with God, and we can do it to get behind what God is doing here. Come on, step up to the responsibility that you have in this house. And I believe that as you do that, as you get behind where this church is going, your passion is going to grow as well. I love the sound of Joshua. This is the sound of his house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Come on, what's the sound of your house today? Are you saying we're going to serve God? Are you saying we're going to get behind this house? I really believe that if you can do that, if you can take a step to say, do you know what, I'm going to get plugged into this church. I'm going to serve in some way. I'm going to sow in some way. I'm going to pray in some way. Then your passion is going to grow as well because you're responsible for it. You've got agency. You're engaged in it. And you'll want that to succeed. You'll want that passion. You'll have that passion. You'll feel it. And you'll want it to grow and to develop. And this is the thing. It's always worth it. Always worth it. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Give yourself fully to the work of the Lord because it is not in vain. So how you invest matters. Even if it's the smallest, even if it's the tiniest thing, it matters. Take that responsibility for the house of God, and you'll see your passion grow because you'll want it to succeed. Okay, here's my final point. How can we grow in passion? We've talked about God's house. We grow in passion because God loves this house. We want that to grow within us. Our house, we've got a responsibility for it. And finally, I want to talk about the mission that God has for his church. And now this is the thing that really grows a passion in me. Consider this. Let's consider what church can actually do. People can come into this environment of believers and have their lives totally changed, totally transformed. Because here in this house, we can see salvation. We can see miracles take place. We can see healing happen. We can see relationships formed. We will see life and life in all its fullness in this space right here. And that is what church is all about. That's what grows my passion. That's why I'm still here. 8 years after joining, I'm having a fantastic plan to go to uni, become a history teacher, blah, 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 blah. I got rid of it all because I'm just passionate about what this church and what the house of God can do. I love the vision of this church to win souls, to make disciples, to transform communities, and to transform nations. Come on, isn't that exciting? Are you not passionate about that? We here are gathered together to see people say yes to Jesus, the most important decision they'll ever make. We're here to see people develop in their journey with him, to become the people that Jesus has designed us to become. Not only that, we're here to see this area, New Malden, transformed for the kingdom of heaven. And not only that, we're here to see the UK transformed as well and further afield. God's ordained it. God said that's what this church is to do. And we can get behind that. We can flow in that. You know, I see the potential in it. I see what can happen. I see where it can go, and it builds my passion. And I want to encourage you today. You know, if you need a passion input today, if you need a little injection of what's this church doing, what's it for, then can I encourage you, think about the potential of what this space can do, of who it can touch, of who it can transform, of how it can do that, and your passion will start to grow and develop. It's really interesting seeing how passion can manifest itself. And I love the way I'm reading Pastor Bruce Monk's book at the moment, and he has a real passion for the younger generation. And he says some great stuff about why he's passionate. He talks about how the younger generation are the energy of the church. He really encourages leaders to empower the next generation because they build a platform for growth in the church. And I love this line. He writes, "The biggest compliment that anyone can give to me is to say Bruce lives to inspire the next generation." And really that passion that Bruce had for the younger generation, to see them come into the church and to see their lives transformed, that's what grew the Equippers movement. That's what's blessed his ministry. And if you know anything about Bruce now, you will know that he is a powerful, anointed minister of God. And the fruit that he has exhibited and shown and delivered has come out of that passion for the next generation. Maybe for you, God has put on your heart a burden for something. Maybe it's a certain community. Maybe it's a certain age group, a certain demographic. Well, I want to tell you, the church is a place where that burden can come to fruition, where lives can be changed because of God's goodness, and because we gather here together and we experience God and his wonder. And so look, I want to encourage you, 3 points there. How do we grow in our passion? One, we've got to take the focus off ourselves. It's God's house. Two, we've got to invest in the responsibility that we have. It's our house. And three, come on, God has given this church a fantastic vision to change lives. And if we can get behind that, then I think your passion is going to grow and grow and grow. Is that good? Amen. Hey, I'd love to pray. So why don't we just stand for a moment? And really, simply, I want to pray today that the Holy Spirit would do something in your life and in your heart right now that just sets something on fire, just sparks something. And so I'm just going to pray, and I just really believe that the Holy Spirit is just going to drop something in right now. Just something that's going to set maybe even a new course for you. Something that's going to cause you to lead to a new decision or a new response. Something that says, do you know what? I'm going to plug in this way. I'm going to talk to this person to deal with whatever's happened in the past. The Holy Spirit has the power to do absolutely anything. And it's always good. And so why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you that you're with us today. Thank you, Lord, that as we've joined together today as the body of Christ, you've drawn near to us. And I thank you that you're here right now. And Lord God, we just welcome your spirit right now. And Father, we just say, would you move now? God, we've talked this morning about passion. Lord, I pray for every person right now whose passion is at a low, at a place where they know it's time to be built up again. And Lord, right now, would you start just filling them with your spirit? Fill them with your Holy Spirit right now. Build that up. Encourage that. Fuel that fire once again in the name of Jesus. I really believe right now, just as we're standing here, it's almost like God's just providing a download for people in this room. A roadmap, a direction, a decision. Thank you, Jesus. We welcome your ministry right now, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. You know, a great way to take a step forward whenever it comes to something like this, and it is actually to just say, do you know what? Yes, that's me. And so, do you know what? If you're standing here today and you're saying, come on, it's time to get passionate for the house of God. While everyone's eyes are closed, why don't you just pop your hand in the air right now? Just pop your hand in the air. No one else is looking around. Just raise your hand right now. That's awesome. There's some hands going up. That's brilliant. God, I thank you for every person that's raised their hand right now. Lord, I thank you that this response, God, is going to do something significant right now in their lives. We say, Holy Spirit, come in the name of Jesus. Fill them now with a fresh passion, a fresh fire, a fresh fuel for your church, for your house. God, I thank you for what it's going to do. I thank you for the fruit that we're going to see from this moment of response. Lord, let them leave today totally changed, totally transformed. I thank you that this week, God, things are going to be dropped in from you that's going to highlight to them a new passion for this church. I praise you for that. Just one more moment while everyone's eyes are closed. While everyone's heads are bowed. We've talked today about how the church is an amazing place to meet God. And if you've never done that, I want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. Jesus is amazing and he loves you to the point where he actually died for you so that you could live in a relationship with him. And today I want to give you the opportunity, if you want to say yes to Jesus right now, while everyone's eyes are closed and heads are bowed, would you just give me a wave? Just give me a wave right now. That's brilliant. I can see you. That's great. Fantastic. And hey, if that was you, then we're going to say a prayer right now. And I'd love for everyone in this room to pray with me so that we can pray together. And if you're saying this prayer for the first time or as a recommitment to God, then come on, this is an amazing decision to make. So come on, let's pray. I'll say a line. You say a line after me. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love me. And thank you that you died for me. Thank you that you have forgiven me. And thank you that I can live a life of freedom. So today I choose to follow you for the rest of my life. In your name. Amen.
Come on, we're going to go out praising God. We've got so many reasons to sing.